Moving on, the next point is pension regulator scheme return, which is paper D. So who's taking us
through that
one?
I'll take you through that one to start off with. Primarily, it's to note that there is a requirement annually to submit a scheme return to the pensions regulator. A couple of years ago, one of the local authorities was fined £1,000 for failing to submit this return. We have never failed to submit a return. Let me just say that to reassure you. There's a statutory format for it, so you've seen everything that is required to be put in there. There's a lot of detail, lots of words, but from the board's perspective, it's confirmation that the submission deadline has been complied with. I would draw your attention to information on, forgive me, page D6, which is the record keeping and the data quality scores. Last time when we submitted the return in 2018, we had not done any data improvement work, and we knew that there was a lot of data improvement work that was required. And our scores in 2018 for common data being name, address, date of birth, national insurance number, standard stuff, was 91%.
Okay.
We've improved that to 95%, which is very positive. And our scheme specific or conditional data, which is around
do calculations, so it will be pension board pay, it will be all sorts of
lengths of
service,
that sort of thing. In 2018 was 70%.
Yeah.
In 2019 it's 95%. So the huge amount of work that was undertaken in terms of our data quality review and all of the reports that we made into you have really made a huge amount of difference in our data quality, which is also reflected in the valuation data that went to the actuaries.
Yeah.
This time, in 2016, we didn't submit our valuation data until the end of October because it was in such a mess. This year, we were 2 weeks ahead of the 31st of July deadline, and we had very, very limited queries from the actuaries in terms of the data quality.
Yes, significant improvement, isn't it?
Significant improvement.
My hair's grown back as well.
Yeah.
So we've got grey.
Well, it's gone grey, but yeah, it's grown back a little bit, yeah.
So just to provide the board with assurance that the work that we've undertaken, that project that we undertook in terms of data improvement, has made a significant amount of difference. I'm quite happy, actually, with a 95% score. Matthew was very disappointed that we're still 5% wrong, but you know, it's data, it's members.
Can I compare it with other
councils? Yeah.
There will be, yeah.
98, I think it is. 98 is the pension regulator's benchmark, not what everybody else has done. So
anything 90 or better, I think, is considered good.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're never going to get to 100% with data because it's always moving.
But behind these scores, we have a couple of very solid, robust reports from the people that measured the data that sets out specifically where we can do additional actions to improve these scores. And again, they're linking into the governance action plan that we've sort of put in later on. In terms of the common data, the bit that's really missing is in particularly, I think, in respect of our deferred members. So those people that have retired, have left the service of the employers but haven't reached pensionable age. These are the ones that are really easy to lose.
Yes.
Yeah.
We have done an exercise where if we've had an email address, we've emailed them out, and also for those that don't, we've sent a letter to them. We've had a reasonable amount of response, but not a huge amount. I think there was quite a few that we had to send out to. So
what would be your other options, like a
tracing
service?
Yeah,
talking about
that's mentioned in a couple of the various governance framework documents.
Yeah. What we are also doing is we're working along with the contact centre to trace. So they're sending on our behalf, if they've got some information, a letter to say, can you contact the pensions team to update your pension details? And obviously, the more we promote member self-service, hopefully people will start to come back to us and log in. So we did have quite a bit of a return on the...
The key point to note is that obviously with the restricted resource that we have in terms of our pensions admin team, who are also trying to maintain existing data and run the business as usual, that's quite a big chunky part of their work to do.
Mm.
So one of the key actions we're looking at is this tracing service to see whether we can
do
a bulk exercise. And then in terms of the scheme specific data, one of the key parts is the guaranteed minimum provision information, which we've now, the project was because of the closing of contracting out and reconciliation. We've got just recently the final report through from JLT.
So we're going to sit down with them just to discuss it so we actually understand it. And then once we've done that, then hopefully we'll have a bit of data to upload into the system, which will then help with the scheme specific score.
Okay.
So we have the data improvement plans, the continuing data improvement plans to finish this off, and then going forward with our actions in terms of the iConnect project with the electronic transfer of data from employers into the pension fund. That should help us to identify changes as they happen and new starters and
levers
and that sort of thing.
It helps us identify on a monthly basis what we don't have from employers and from other outside payroll providers. So yeah, it will be a massive change.
The score of 95, particularly on the scheme specific side, and the fact that it includes deferred members is excellent, really.
Yeah.
And I think the team needs to be congratulated.
They've done a really good job.
So can I just ask a couple of questions on the return, just looking for the information? There are several employers that have, and it's only on several of them, really, a detail regarding employer membership, number of defined benefit members, zero.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I have to say.
Because
there's nothing on the system to be able to input that information. So on the return, because I looked at that when I submitted it, and I looked at, for example, you're looking at the Newport Parish Council in Yarmouth, and it seems to be some of the parish councils, and I have absolutely no idea where that information has come from, because there's not a box to put it in on the return.
It does seem a little odd.
They
so
one of them from 1939.
Yes.
Made it up.
I have no idea where that number has come from. I have not put those numbers in. The return has picked it up from somewhere, so I don't know.
But it's not on everything, though, is it?
No,
no.
And this is why it is completely... Because it's not even on all of the town and parish councils.
No.
It's on some of the town and parish councils, but it's not on all of them.
Yeah, it is a little
understand.
Odd.
But it doesn't appear to be a fundamental issue, I'm hoping. Because nobody's ever come back to me on it previously.
No, maybe it's just worth highlighting. Because it does just seem a bit of a strange thing.
Particularly as they do have active members, which is why they are active.
Yeah.
So the employer status, college since the 1st of January 1900.
This is because it wasn't allowing. I had to put a start date in.
Oh, right, okay.
And I wasn't able. Where the ones I've been able to track, I've put in a sensible start date. But where I haven't been able to track it, it just said
put
a date in because you've been active forever.
And one other question on Part 6, which is service provider details. It says insurance company. There is currently no insurance company listed as involved with this scheme.
Yes.
What would an insurance
because
company be involved
if
with?
It's a defined contribution scheme, or even a defined benefit, it could be an insurance company that are actually running the scheme for the RMI Council, but it's not.
Okay.
So.
Okay, thank you. Lovely, thank you very much. Does anyone else have any questions on that particular paper? Okay, so moving on then to point 7, which is